said that clearly we're living in the 21st century and images all, but actually the 20th century is pretty fulsome in terms of photographic images as well. And when it comes to the Royals, probably more than most, we've got a whole range of things working on that basis. So allowing for the imminent publication, of course, of a gift to the gift from the people ahead of Prince Harry and Meghan's royal nuptials, etc., the crown from the crowd is about to be delivered. And who better to actually speak about the crown from the crowd and a gentleman whose book, actually, I have to say, I make compulsory reading for all of my Level 2 journalism students at the University of Lincoln, in fact, for several books. It's the fantastic Dominic Sandbrook, author of, amongst others, White Heat and More. Dominic, good to speak with you today.
Hello.
Good, excellent. Okay, so let's move on to this particular topic today, the crown from the crowd, and over 2,000 images submitted by the public dating back to the 19th century, let alone the 20th century.
Yeah, no, it's fantastic. So it's a really interesting story, actually. So you may remember that over Christmas, the younger royals were all off to Sandringham for a service, and they were photographed by a woman called Karen Anville. So she had what the newspapers at the time called the Fab Four, so William, Catherine, Harry and Meghan. And that was the photo that all the newspapers used. And it was an interesting one because it was taken by a member of the public, not by anybody who was a sort of a official professional photographer. And that gave this company PhotoBox the idea to create this sort of crowdsourced book of photos that people had taken themselves of the royal family through history. And this is the result. I mean, it literally is a sort of the crown as seen from the crowd. And so you get a sort of a more spontaneous, more surprising, sort of unfiltered view of the royal family. And I think it just feels that it has this freshness, I guess, that people won't have seen in books of royal photographs before.
I'm often struck when seeing various royal walkabouts by how often people tend to miss the moment by trying to put themselves in a selfie shot with various other things, by looking at things through the lens of cameras. Yes. And so on. I mean, that was something which clearly 20, 30, 40 years ago, before the ubiquitousness of social media and so on, we didn't quite have that. So possibly we did have people still thinking of getting the ideal shot.
No, I mean, I think it's different. You see, it's really interesting, you know, because you see how the shots themselves have changed. So obviously what happens now is that, I mean, we have a great selfie of somebody taken with Prince William, which is the sort of selfie to end all selfies. It looks like sort of quintessential selfie. And it's a really close up of their faces. And, you know, she's right in the shot. But obviously 20, 30, 40, 50 years ago, people were not in the shots. And they wanted to kind of, you know, you have a sense of them standing in the crowd and peering over people's shoulders to try and get the image of the royals. And I think, you know, it's a good example. I mean, if you were sort of, I was putting my columnist hat on, I would say, it's the sort of narcissism of the modern age. So we want to be the stars of the photos ourselves. But of course, the real stars of all these photos are the royals. And, you know, you get this sort of, I guess you get this glimpse of their humanity, I think. So you see them laughing, you see them reacting to things, you see them, you know, the Queen, that's one of my favourite ones, is the Queen sort of peering into the eyes of this prize bull at an agricultural fair. And it's the kind of image that you don't normally see of the Queen, and you sort of get some of the, I guess you forget that there are human beings behind these characters.
Do you know, I think that might have been the Great Yorkshire Show, but still, that's another line entirely, because I know that it's often frequented by royalty. What is it about the royal family in particular that allows for the public to still have this long-standing affection and fondness for the Windsor firm?
Well, I think it's the sense of history is key to it, isn't it? I think people see in an age when so many institutions have fallen from grace or been tarnished or discredited or whatever, the royal family is the one into which we kind of pour so much of our national, our sort of national sympathies, I guess. It's the supreme symbol of our national identity and of British history and so on. And what they do very cleverly is they capitalize on that, but also they present themselves as a kind of family. And, you know, a nation is nothing if it's not a family. And the fact that it's weddings and funerals and whatnot that become the focus of attention, you know, that tells you something about how we see them, that we see them as kind of idealized versions, I guess, of ourselves in a way. And when they get married, we think of it as a national celebration, as a party and so on. And in a sense, it's the sort of story of the British family writ large, isn't it? The story of the Windsors in the last few decades, divorces, disasters, but kind of resilience and bouncing back and all the rest of it. I mean, it's a soap opera of course, but that's precisely why we love it. It's always been a soap opera to some extent.
And Prince William giving up his Aston Villa supporting duties at the FA Cup final between Chelsea and, yeah, and Manchester
has
United. Exactly.
Has he chosen wisely? That's
well,
the question.
Clearly, if Wolverhampton Wanderers had been in the FA Cup final, he would have clearly had to go to the FA Cup final. That's a
now
damn
you're
deal.
Talking my kind of
well,
language.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Dominic, 2,000 images sounds an awful lot. It is quite a lot, but I suspect it's just the tip of the iceberg in terms of what you had to sift through together with Jenny Bond to actually sort through this this whole range of things.
Exactly. And it was really fun looking through all the photos and just sort of seeing, you know, of course the sifting was kind of difficult, but that was the fun part of the process.
And were there any criteria that you're looking for? Was it spontaneity? Was it unusualness? Was it quirkiness? I mean, did you have rather like the best of academic circles, you say, now these are the criteria we're working through?
I don't think we had really fixed criteria. I mean, we wanted really good photos, but we also, as you say, we wanted slightly unexpected photos. So some of them, I mean, what I really like about them is they're not all perfect. So they're taken by amateurs. And, you know, sometimes the focus is not what it would be if it had been taken by a professional photo or the sort of the framing of it or whatever. But that's actually what makes them so good. And that's what makes them look like the sort of photos you see in an ordinary family's photo album. And that's what this is. It feels like the sort of British family's photo album. And I think that's what we were really looking for something that felt as though it had a kind of, it would have a connection to the kind of reader.
And was there, if one can be so bold, a jewel in the crown from the crowd, or a particular photograph which stood out and said, my word, that's the one we need to go for?
That's a very good question. I mean, there's one that's sort of, you can see it's been creased, and it's a black and white photo from the 60s, the Queen in the crowd. And I think that has a kind of immediacy that some of them don't necessarily have. I mean, there's some one of the ones that sort of sticks in my mind, and it's actually not a very good photo, but that's what makes it so memorable. It's one of, for some reason, the Sarah Ferguson is posing on a sort of policeman's motorbike, sort of leaning back. She's got her eyes closed. The policeman's got his eyes closed. It kind of doesn't work, and yet it works because it doesn't work, and it has this sort of bizarreness to it that I think makes it sort of, I can't get that photo out of my head.
Clearly there are a whole range of issues there, and thank heavens the photograph of Sarah Ferguson you chose. Exactly. It's a whole different line. There are lots of others you could have gone down the line. I don't think we'd go there. If people are looking to go for further information, clearly I'd say go to dominicsandbrook.com, but is there another alternative place for people to actually go to?
The place they should be going is photobox.com, which is where they can order copies of the book to give to families and friends as presents.
There we are, photobox.com. The magic will be there. I shall continue endorsing White Heat and a number of other texts that you've produced because, the students love it. I love it. This is great. It's wonderful to get journalists thinking about the history. Sometimes you're quite surprised about how they've forgotten the connection of the Avengers being Emma Peel and John Steed and not a Marvel superhero routine, but still.
Yeah.
Dominic, two final lines for yourself. First of all, have you had a reasonably interesting telephonic link with us on the programme today?
Sorry, say that again. Sorry.
Have you had a reasonably interesting telephonic link with us today? It's our customer satisfaction line.
I would say probably, it is reasonably interesting.
That's
yeah.
Okay. That's good. That's all right. So can we look forward to connecting with you again in the very near future?
I certainly hope so. I shall look forward to it myself.